Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thank you so much for joining us today. So my motivational quote, of course, I have to inspire you at the start of the show. The motivational quote today is by Socrates, and he says, "The secret of change is to focus all of your energy, not on fighting the old, but on building the new." So have you ever taken a break from work? And I'm not just talking for a month or two, but real time off. Maybe it was to be a stay-at-home mom or dad to take care of your newborn, or it could have been that you took time off to take care of an older family member. Whatever the reason might be, re-entering the workforce after a long break like that could sometimes not only be hard, but also maybe quite intimidating. So time to get real. And be brave, because I think there's an element of braveness in this, or courage. So during today's episode, my guest is going to share success stories. We're going to talk specifically about success stories that she's experienced with her clients. So you can hear real life examples of people who have relaunched their career after taking a break and be able to hit the ground running. So who is my guest? Her name is Carol Fishman Cohen, and Carol is an expert on the whole relaunch process. She's the chair and co-founder of iRelaunch, builder of corporate career reentry programs, and leader of the 75,000 person strong iRelaunch, and then hashtag return to work community. I'm showing my age with that one. She is a pioneer in the career reentry space, and her viral TED talk, How to Get Back to Work After a Career Break, has nearly 2 million views and has taken and has been translated into 30 languages. Now, Carol has walked the walk. She's relaunched her own career when she returned to work to Bain Capital after an 11-year career break before co-founding iRelaunch. Her relaunch is documented in a Harvard Business School case study, she is a graduate of Pomona College and Harvard Business School, and she lives in Boston. So please help me welcome my wonderful guest, Carol, back to the show for the second time. So Carol, thanks so much for taking the time of being on.
Connie, thanks for having me. It's great to be on again, and I appreciate coming back for more conversation. Just an update. So the TED Talk is now almost 3 million views. It's been amazing in terms of people seeing it who then get in touch with us who want to relaunch their own careers, and also employers getting in touch with us who want to form formal career reentry programs to engage with people returning after a career break. So we spend a lot of work of time at iRelaunch working with companies as well as our 75,000 person relauncher community. But thanks for that introduction.
Yeah, and 3 million. Yay, good for you. So proud of you. That tells right there, and all of the corporations reaching out to you to start with bringing even older folks on, right? We have the internships for the younger kids. And I know in our last conversation when you were on the show, we talked about organizations actually doing these internships for older kids, right? We were teasing about De Niro's show. So I think it's becoming even more a bigger need for a resource like yours, because we are being downsized. Some of us are being forced to relaunch in our careers, and just a whole lot is going on. So before we begin, in case people haven't listened to the show, or they certainly could go back and listen to it to get more, even more insight. But before we discuss it, give me some insight as to relaunch. What is it? Why did you do it? And like who it can help? And then we'll talk about the success stories.
Sure. So as you mentioned earlier, I relaunched my career myself after an 11-year career break. I'm a financial analyst. I went back into a financial analyst role after 11 years at home. So really understood every stage of that transition firsthand. And then later on, co-authored a book called Back on the Career Track with Vivian Steer-Raven, another relauncher, to provide the guidebook that we wished we had had when we relaunched, because we had relaunched way back in 2000 and 2001 when no one was talking about this. And that led to the co-founding of iRelaunch. And we run conferences and events for employers and individuals who are returning to work after a career break. And then we also, as I mentioned, work with companies to create these formal programs. And we provide tools and resources for individuals who are making this transition back for a whole range of reasons, just as you've mentioned, men and women, and reasons, you know, ranging from elder care and child care to retirees coming out of retirement, expats repatriating, military spouses or veterans transitioning back. Health reasons, pursuing a personal interest, a whole range of reasons why people might take an extended multi-year career break. And you mentioned the returnships, which is an internship for mid-career professionals. And we're working very hard to with companies to create more of those programs. But today we're actually going to focus on a different segment of relaunching, which is relaunching and transitioning. And I'll give you a little background on that in a minute. But the four examples that we're going to talk about today are not only examples of people who transitioned into new careers while they were relaunching, but they also transitioned and relaunched without the benefit of a formal return to work program, as did I when I relaunched. So I think that's important because many of us and many of your listeners are going to return to work, not as part of a formal program, but on their own. So it'll be relevant for people in that situation as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting how when you started your business, it was you and this your partner, Vivian, who wrote the book initially.
Yeah.
Because you went through and had to kind of figure out those steps. And out of need, you're thinking, wow, we could probably help a bunch of people, right? So you write this book. And now look at, from that one little piece, all the different avenues that this is exploding into. So you're clearly onto something and the need is so drastic out there. So just wonderful. And I'm so excited that you're on my show because I think it's important that that's a big change, relaunching, shifting, transitioning, whatever it is, because you're making a career shift in some way.
Yeah.
The need is so great. So I'm excited to provide this resource. So thanks, thanks again for being on. So now how do relaunchers differ, or do they? And when the traditional roles are reversed and, the father takes the career break, do you have an example like that to share?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So that's an interesting case, stay-at-home dads who are relaunching careers, and it's starting to be a trend. We're the pioneering company in the space. We've been around since 2007. We've ridden into the recession and back out of the recession. And we've been holding events, our iRelaunch Return to Work Conference, 26 times since 2008. So we've really been in a position to see trends. And one of the things that has happened is the participation of more and more men in our conferences. So for a long time, we were 7% men, 93% women. The last three conferences, we've been 10 to 13% men, and that is reflecting more and more men taking career breaks, and more men taking career breaks for childcare reasons, and also being willing to have their success stories in the public domain. We used to have men who returned to work after career breaks for childcare reasons who we would approach to ask if we could feature their stories, and they would say, no, I'd rather not have it in the public domain. And now we have numbers of men who are happy to have their success story featured and talk about the fact that they were stay-at-home dads. There are also men who are taking career breaks for elder care and a whole range of other reasons too. But yes, that's definitely something that's emerging. One of the examples today, in fact, is a dad who spent 13 years home with his kids. He was a international business development manager for a company where he traveled at least 50% of the time. And when he was home with his kids, he got very interested in the issues of strategy issues in education and issues in education in general. And he ended up relaunching in a strategy role in a K-12 independent school. So we have seen, this kind of transition happen when parents, men or women, identify something that they have great interest in. I think, did we get a break there? Okay, identify something that they're interested in while they are on career break, and then that becomes the basis for their relaunch later.
it's so interesting. Everything really does happen for a reason, right? When whatever it is, whatever point in our life, opportunity knocks in the strangest ways. So even men being home with their kids, you know, you're shifting because you're not in work mode, you're in the kid mode, and then all of a sudden you start seeing things. And this dad, brilliant. Here's the interesting thing too. You know, you're an analyst by trade for many years, mm-hmm. and immediately you said with the 26 seminars that you guys have done over the years that you've seen a shift in the analytics. And I giggled and I thought, once an analyst, always an analyst. But that's important for what you're creating to have those demographic changes and that statistical analysis because it makes a difference. This gentleman who was a strategic thinker in business development and understanding how to speak to people and all of those skills, we don't lose those skills. He just took them, kind of wrapped them differently and shifted to different careers. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to hear things like that. Now, if you've ever considered relaunching in a career, but feel discouraged by maybe the lengthy training and interview paths ahead, what do you, I've never done that before. I want to become a teacher. I don't know. And you have to go back to get certified. How do you help people and what kind of discussions do you take around that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's just take a step back for a minute and talk about what people think about when they're relaunching, because they really can take three paths. So first, they could realize that they were on exactly the right career path to begin with. They loved what they were doing before, and they returned to exactly what they were doing before. Then we have people who might have loved what they were doing before, but maybe there's something about that job that's no longer compatible with their lifestyle. So it, you know, 50% travel or spontaneous travel. That's when they say, oh, we're going to be out on the first plane out tomorrow morning, as opposed to planned travel when you know there's going to be an upcoming trip and you can plan everything that's going on with your private life around that. So they decide, I'm going to return to something related to what I did before, but not exactly the same. And then there are those of us who realize we were not on the right career path to begin with. And when that happens, we end up relaunching in an entirely new direction. And it could be something that we were always interested in, but forced ourselves for some, maybe we were fulfilling someone else's expectations or we happened to fall into an available job. We ended up in a different direction, but we always had a passion somewhere else. Or maybe like Dave Carty, who is this dad who took the 13-year career break and made that switch, maybe it's something we discovered during our career break that we know we're really passionate about now and has a match with our skill set. So I just wanted to set that stage and give that context for everyone. And we're really focusing right now on this third case. What happens when you relaunch and career transition at the same time? So I love this example of Dave Carty. And one of the other things that he said, and we have a podcast interview with Dave Carty on the I Relaunch 321 I Relaunch podcast, and we can talk about that at the end if people want that resource.
Absolutely.
The other piece is he spoke at one of our I Relaunch Return to Work conferences, and he told the audience that when he was interviewing and trying to figure out what he wanted to do, there were some interviews that he had where people really didn't get him as a stay-at-home dad. And, you know, he was relaunching, he's relaunched years ago when there was more stigma attached to being a stay-at-home dad. It was more unusual and people would be more suspicious of, like, why did he make that decision? He said if he detected any of that, he would realize this is probably not the right place for me to work. And he said he kept interviewing until he was interviewing with people who really got who he was and appreciated the decisions that he made.
Absolutely.
So that's another thing to keep in mind when you're interviewing. So that is one of the other reasons that he ended up where he was, is that he felt that people really understood him and his decisions and appreciated the perspective he had as a stay-at-home dad, as well as the background that he had in before his career break.
Yeah, it's a win-win. Of course, it would be a win-win for the company. So, so what does that? What did he have to go for different credentials or something, or he, you know, easily stepped into, right?
What, in this role, he did not have to go for different credentials, but we have had people go for different credentials, and it usually involves some kind of formal academic updating. So let me give you an example of that. We had a relauncher who had a media career and had taken a four-year career break and wanted to transition into the financial sector. And so she ended up taking a certificate program in anti-money laundering. Very interesting professional association certificate program, a $2,000 investment. So some of these academic opportunities, some of them are free, like edX and Coursera. You can take those courses at no charge online. And then some of them, either individual courses or certificate programs, which could be groups of courses, have a price tag attached to them. Some are offered by colleges and universities. Some are offered by professional associations. So she made this investment, and not only was she able to career transition into finance, but she was hired 3 months after she completed that program. And that it's called CAMS, C-A-M-S. That anti-money laundering certificate program has been used by a number of our relaunchers with similar success. So sometimes it's a credential that you need to have in order to be viable to apply for the job. And sometimes it's a credential that you're getting because you're signaling to an employer, I'm really serious about relaunching in this particular direction. And even though that credential may not be formally required for the job itself. So we've seen both approaches.
Do you find that with that one where she went for the anti-money laundering certification,
yes.
Is there a link where potential employers are looking to them for recent graduates or new people, you know, who have just gotten certified? So is there almost like, you know, she spent the $2,000. I get the investment piece, but is there, does it open some doors or, you know, not at all? You have to go through the certification to kind of dig and find your own opportunities.
These opportunities do open doors. Of course, it depends. Some of these programs are all online. Some of them are part in person and part online. Some of them involve some sort of a field study. For example, this was not a complete career transition, but we had a manufacturing engineer who wanted to get into quality engineering. And the every job that she looked at required, she had taken an 11-year career break. Every job she looked at required Lean or Six Sigma certification. So she ended up taking a Lean course to get certified in Lean, which you need if you're a quality engineer. And it was an in-person course. And all the other people taking the course were working because sometimes people want to get that additional certification just as part of their, you know, their up in their own, sure. own field. And she said, first of all, she was the only one who had time to do the homework. So she really shined in the course. And then secondly, she said they had to do this thing called a Lean mapping study, which is kind of like a field study where you take what you're learning in the course and apply it to a real issue. And every other person in the class was doing their Lean mapping study at their own company. So she had to make special arrangements with one of the people at their company to see if she could do her Lean study at their company. And, you know, so she met all those other quality engineers who were sitting in their in the class. She was making a great impression by the work that she had done just by doing the homework and focusing on the material. And then she got to meet all these other people in this company. So she didn't end up relaunching at that particular company, but, wow, what a great additional benefit from taking that course. So sometimes, yes, that can... there can be additional benefits. Like
and
that.
See, again, it's that opportunity. If you take that step forward, whatever it is, right, sometimes those doors open. And the funny thing is it's networking, right? You and I have talked about that, I think, in our last show. You have to network. And by her doing Shiny because she did the homework, but all of a sudden she met this whole new group of people that she never would have met had she not gone for that certification. So I think sometimes we're apprehensive to spend mm-hmm. that initial investment. You know, if you're out of work, $2,000, you're like, wow, $2,000. I get it. But sometimes, you know, we're penny wise, dollar foolish, where you have to spend the money to be able to open those new doors and opportunities. That's a great story. You know, kudos to her. And I think it's funny that she was able to do the homework so she shines. It's awesome.
And let me just throw in one other thing that didn't cost money. So there was another professional association in manufacturing that did plant tours. And she went on every plant tour that they offered. And she probably had to pay a membership to be part of that professional association. And we tell relaunchers, explain that you're on career break and see if they can put you in a special membership category that might be lower price. But then also, she's going on plant tours with other people who are working in her field. And that was something completely aside from this coursework that didn't have a price tag attached to it, that was also helpful in meeting people who could be, you know, helpful in her network generally.
It's fascinating. You don't know what you don't know, right? So this is, and as you're describing this, you know, I'm thinking, well, that makes sense. It yes. does make sense, but when you're in the throes of looking for that job or coming back, you know, after a long break, those resources don't seem so obvious, right? So that's why your company, I think, is just super, super helpful. Now, I know you have another example, a patent litigation attorney. And she was a partner in the law firm, if I'm not mistaken. And yeah. she went on a tenure track in academia. So how did that happen?
Okay, so let's talk about that example. So that's an example of someone who was very senior in her field. So she was a partner at a law firm and decided to take a career break when she had a first child a little later in life, and decided also she wasn't sure what she wanted to do, loved her work in law, but really took this time off to figure that out. And later realized that she loved to teach. And so she ended up teaching first one course and then additional course as an adjunct professor in business law. It's at Bentley University. Right. And later she got such great reviews and got more and more of a role there. And she ended up ultimately on the tenure track at Bentley to be a professor there in the business law department. Very successful. Her name is Liz Brown. And we also have a podcast with Liz, and you can hear a lot more about her story in that particular journey. So that's an example of someone realizing that there are things about their original field that they love and want to somehow be part of their professional experience going forward. But relaunching in a completely different area still related to it. So law partner, career break, tenure track professorship in business law. Very interesting pathway there. And along the way, she also wrote a book about lawyers taking different pathways in their career. So that's an additional resource too. And that's something she talks about in the podcast.
See, this is also fascinating, Carol, because she was a lawyer, right? Took that break. She's still a lawyer. She still has all of that education, all of that experience. It's not like when you lose a job or you take a career break for whatever reason, you lose all those skills you had. It's the opposite. It gives you an opportunity to have whatever the skills are that you've developed over the years, but it truly gives you an opportunity to kind of breathe and think, what is the next shift I want to do? What are my strengths? What are my skills that I kind of like using? And what are the things that maybe are non-negotiables for me? Like the example at the beginning, I think his name is Dave, with the travel. You know, now you have kids. You don't want to travel 50% of the time. So instead of stepping back into that job, right, you shift. He still has all of those skills. Now you do something that maybe is a little bit more meaningful. And I love this. It's interesting just because I have a son who just graduated college, Carol. And I'm fascinated because I know the kids graduating think, well, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know who I want to be. And, you know, as a parent, I keep saying, take the skills that you're good at, right? And what are your non-negotiables? What are things that you absolutely know you hate and do not want to do? That's part of the journey as well, to figure out, well, what industries am I interested in? That doesn't mean 20 years from now you're going to be doing the same thing. Probably not. So this exploration that you talk about and you educate your folks in, yours just happens to be in this relaunch kind of criteria. But it's fascinating because everybody has their story of this transition, and it's just a fascinating topic for me. Now, I know you, go ahead, did you want to say something? Because I have another one that I know we have another example I want to discuss before we end. Did you want to say something?
No, I was just thinking that when, just for younger professionals, that your 20s are really a time for exploration. And if anyone has, kids in their 20s, that it's the lowest opportunity time to go and just try a bunch of different things and not have to feel like you're going to lock yourself in and you have to make these decisions about exactly what you want to do now. Because with a lot of our relaunchers, they didn't really figure it out till they were in their 40s or even above. So this all this pressure of people having to figure out their direction really early on, I think it's really misplaced. So I love the approach that you're taking with your son.
Yeah, and here's the thing too. If he finds a job in another state, figure it out, right? But we'll help him with the budget and all of that. But if you're living home, and I know a lot of parents, their kids come back home before they, move out on their own, try to save some money, which for me as a finance background, that's smart. But I said to him, you have no bills, you have no responsibilities, you're not married, you don't have kids. Now's the time to take a job for a year, year and a half and say, whew, so not what I want. Or you're in a career, right, or in a job in a company, and a posting, you're like, wow, that's so interesting. Or you speak to someone at that company. You never know what direction it's going to take. And it's really the same thing with relaunchers. It doesn't change. Life doesn't change where you have to feel stuck. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And I love our conversations because it's about getting unstuck and following your passion or whatever it is that whatever it is you're seeking. Now, I know you have another example, 18 years at a company. This person took a 5-year break and they changed careers to an assistant dean and co-lead of admissions at MIT, right? Sloan School of Management. Like, what? So how did that happen?
All right. So first of all, I just want to note that we are talking about 3 relaunch stories here in academia, in K-12, yeah, private school, on the teaching tenure track, on the professorship side of a university. And now we're talking about a relaunch on the administrative side of a university. So just thematically thinking about academia as a great place for relaunching, and all the different ways that you can relaunch your career when you think about what makes a university run. So there's an organization called PERC, Higher Education Recruitment Consortium, and that is a big database of job opportunities in academia. So I would direct people to hercjobs.org as one of the resources, and I can give that to you later.
Cool.
So this is a story of Donna Levinson, who was at Accenture for 18 years and was a partner there and had a very full career there and ended up taking a career break. She was an alum of MIT undergrad and the Sloan School, and had always dreamt of at some point in her life working there. So she, during a 5-year period, took a career break to figure this out. And she will talk about, we did an in-depth interview with her as well, she will talk about how much of a factor perseverance was in her relaunch, because she didn't relaunch directly into this senior role in admissions at Sloan. She had an intermediate step there where she was working in the professional education area of MIT, and it took her a while to get that job. She needed to keep coming back to them. She volunteered. She was in kind of a contract role, and then something opened up there when someone left, and they reorganized the administration, and she ended up in a role there. And interestingly, one of the programs that she was running was a program that MIT was doing with Accenture. So she was so familiar with both of those organizations that she was the perfect person to be in that role. And then later, once she had been in that role and at MIT for a number of years, she moved over into the admissions department where she is now in the senior role. So a very inspiring and interesting story from someone who had to go at it over and over again before she was finally successful. And that's an important message for relaunchers, especially now when relaunchers are relaunching in a full employment economy and you get rejections and you feel like, wow, everyone else has a job, why don't I have a job? And it can be especially demoralizing. So that patience piece and the perseverance piece are really keys to success, and understanding that it's normalized. It's a pretty normal situation to go through when you're getting a succession of rejections before you finally break through and get that opportunity where you get hired.
Yeah, and sales, you know, I learned early on in my 20s that, you know, you get these no's or objections and you're crushed because you're young and you feel hurt by it. Like, what did I do wrong? Timing could have been off. There's a number of things. It's never really personal when someone says no to you unless they truly don't like you, right? So, yeah. But there was a saying, one of my people who was teaching me when I first entered sales, the more no's you get, you're getting closer to a yes. And isn't that true in life? You can never try and get 100% positive response, just like you can't try and get 100% negative response. So when you're getting those no's, just statistically, a yes has to come down the pike. But when you're living through it, well said, it's demoralizing. So you're absolutely right. Patience is king during those times. I have one last question, and we're out of time, Carol. It always goes so fast. You also help people who are downsized or forced to leave. Maybe they're in transition to finding a job. Do you find that your resources help in that venue as well? Or are you truly a break and then coming back?
So our focus originally, and it still is, people who elect to take a break for any of these reasons that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have had plenty of people who have been downsized or laid off, an unintentional career break, if you will.
Sure.
Some of them might have morphed their career break into something intentional afterwards. So they get laid off and then all of a sudden they're hit with an elder care situation, for example. Or they get laid off and they decide, you know what, I'm laid off now. I'm going to take this time to pursue X, and then they turn that involuntary career break into a voluntary career break. So we do have some of those hybrid situations as well. But regardless, the strategies are effective for both groups. Whether you volunteered to take a career break or whether it's something that happened to you and it was an involuntary career break. So yes, the tools and resources that we have on the irelaunch.com website, the 321 I Relaunch podcast, all of the events are completely relevant for people who are on a career break, no matter what the reason.
Yeah, and I was telling Carol at the beginning of the show, I have a friend who, after 23 years being in a company, they're downsizing or closing, whatever, but he's losing his job. And he had listened to our show, Carol, back in the summer. And he's like, I can't find it. So he, Facebook, he said, can you give me your information? So I was like, yes, of course. I sent Carol's information. It's a resource, you know, the show. And what I'll do, Carol, I'm going to give your website. So it's relaunch.com. And then also on Twitter, a lot of information at irelaunch. Through the website, they could find everything. Yes.
You can sign up for our mailing list, which I highly recommend to hear about jobs and events and success stories and advice on returning to work after a career break. We also have on Facebook, we have a Facebook page, and we also have a private Facebook group just for relaunchers. You have to answer some questions to get into it because we want to make sure we only have relaunchers in the group. So you can find all of that on irelaunch.com.
And then the podcast, because I think it's fascinating. It's another resource. People understand content, but when you have a story attached to it, all of a sudden you can relate on the human level and think, oh, that sounds like me, or oh, I have a friend that's going through that. So you just never know. So it's 321relaunch.com is the podcast?
No. So it's called 321 iRelaunch. And if you go to irelaunch.com, on the top menu bar, you will see podcasts and you can click on it and get right to where all the episodes are.
Perfect. Perfect. So I will post, everybody that's commuting with Carol and I today, I will post the irelaunch.com website so you guys can click and make sure you find it. I'll have it backlinked. And then you can listen to the podcast and check them out, check out those shows. Carol, thank you so much for being on again. This is really a vital topic and a necessary topic today. So I'm excited that, you know, we got to do this show and that my listeners get to hear it because I do think it's some powerful information. And you are just a wealth of information, a dynamo, and I truly enjoy our conversation. So thank you so much for being on.
Thanks, Connie. Thanks for having me.
And guys, another resource for my listeners, my partner and I, my second business, Wisdom Decoded. If you go to wisdomdecoded.com, we're still giving away that free communication style assessment. Another resource for you to understand how you're communicating, and not only for your own edification, but when if you're interviewing in this situation, how are you being perceived by the person who's interviewing you? So wisdomdecoded.com, take that assessment, 5 minutes, and you do get a report that goes with it to give you some insight as to your strengths, superpowers, and then what are those blind spots. So check that out as well. Yet another resource for anybody looking to relaunch a career. I hope it helps you. And it's free. It's a free resource on the website. Carol, thank you so much again. Truly a pleasure as always. And I look forward to our next show.
Thanks, Connie.
Great. And all of you, I hope you'll join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that I know we all go through change. Sometimes it's chosen, sometimes it's not, but it's easier than you think. And I hope the guests like Carol that I had on today provide some resources for you to navigate and understand that change is easier than we often think. We just have to keep moving forward, guys. So thank you so much for joining us. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired, productive, and maybe a new relaunched week. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.